Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, joined by Diana West, and please check out her two terrific books, both best-selling books, The Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal. So, Diana, I asked the question that actually you put in your piece in the Daily Caller. Is the FBI handling all of its counterintelligence investigations in this bizarre and clearly inadequate way? But what do you think is the answer to that?
Well, I don't know, because none of our elected representatives have asked it. It seems like the most natural question. And this is where things, I think, get extremely disturbing, because there's something strange about no congressman, House or Senate, no senator, no congressman, asking the natural questions that spring to mind right here as we're talking about it. Is this the way the FBI handles counterintelligence? Mr. Comey, do you really mean to say that the FBI did not independently corroborate these findings of a DNC contractor when what we're looking at are affairs of state? I mean, this isn't a bank robbery or something domestic. This is something that actually has a massive impact, ratcheting up tensions between two nuclear-armed countries is never a good thing. And we saw President Obama acting on the same DNC contractor's say-so, essentially, at the end of his term, ejecting, 35 Russian diplomats? What is going on with this that we would be essentially engaging in this kind of activity with no official, nonpartisan, rigorous, believable, trustworthy investigation? And I think the answer may, and again, this is something our elected representatives seem to be shying away from for terrible reasons, in my view. In the New York Times story, I think it was in December, they did a big kind of overview of the computer saga involving hacking and Russians and the DNC and so on. And in the course of it, and they were describing what CrowdStrike actually did for the DNC, they say, they report that CrowdStrike entirely replaced the DNC computer system. So when I hear that, I think, well, if they replaced it, did they destroy it? Did they destroy the original servers? Do they no longer exist? Is this why the FBI never went back to confirm? Certainly it's a logical question that an honest representative would ask. But this is where I get extremely depressed, because to me, watching this questioning go by, there is a sense of kabuki theater about it that perpetuates what looks to me like a terrible cover-up of what actually happened at the DNC that I think, personally, James Comey is perfectly mindful of. And it's the last thing that any of them on the Hill want. And I think it does indicate the extent to which President Trump has no friends on the Hill.
Let me just complete the saga, if I can. You have advanced a possible alternative source of the leaks of the DNC emails, and perhaps John Podesta's as well. Tell us about that individual and why you are suspicious that that may be a more compelling explanation for what happened here than the Russians did it.
Right. Well, this isn't really what I've advanced so much as just watching the news unfold and simply casting a wider net to try to understand the events of the last year. Last summer, in July, a 27-year-old man was murdered on the streets of D.C. His name was Seth Rich. He was the voter expansion data director of the DNC. And shortly after he was murdered, The police have decided it was a robbery gone wrong, as they strangely always say when there's a murder. But there was nothing taken. He had a number of valuables and so on. And so the idea of robbery is odd. There are a lot of things odd about the entire case. But what first really starts to pique our curiosity, or should, or would, if this were a normal world, is the fact that he was involved in very high level inside the DNC, voter expansion data director. A couple of weeks later, Julian Assange, in the course of an interview, was talking about how difficult it is for sources, for WikiLeaks, to live safe in safety. And he actually brought up the murder of Seth Rich. WikiLeaks went on to post a reward. We further have evidence from a WikiLeaks associate who told the Daily Mail later, actually in this year, that he had been in contact with a leaker in September of 2016. So that would not have been the DNC leak, but it might have been the Podesta leak. And it was his opinion that there was no Russian or foreign influence involved, as Julian Assange also has constantly and continually insisted, but that this man, his name is Craig Murray, former UK ambassador to Uzbekistan, he traveled to the United States in September of 2016 and says that he picked up a form of leaks that then were produced by WikiLeaks, published by WikiLeaks subsequently. And he said it was an American, someone that the leakers are disgusted people disgusted by the corruption of the DNC, the collusion between the Clinton campaign and the DNC to cheat Bernie Sanders, to prevent Bernie Sanders from amassing delegates. This was the DNC issue. And then just the general widespread corruption and malfeasance and just nastiness that we see on display, the rot. And this is where we're looking. So what is very strange about all of this is that how can you even have an investigation into this whole affair without airing this, without looking at this, without asking questions about this? But what we saw very recently in the example of Sean Hannity, who was doing due diligence as a journalist and trying to understand this and push the story and interview people, the army of the left and media come after one who actually wants to advance this unsolved murder.
Well, let me ask you quickly, Diana, because we'll run out of time here before we run out of things to talk with you about. There is another potential source of the leaks. It is as yet also being obscured, I'm afraid, rather than clarified, which is a whole other saga. But this chap, Imran Awan, a Pakistani national who had gotten a number of his family members employed, as was he, by Debbie Wasserman Schultz and other Democratic members of Congress, apparently had access through Debbie Wasserman Schultz's iPad to passwords for the DNC. And this would, of course, not be the first time that people who may have been involved with Pakistani intelligence were mucking about on Capitol Hill, and heavens knows the extent of what these Pakistani IT professionals were doing there. So, Diana, let me just ask you this. Again, it seems as though this is the kind of thing the FBI ought to be examining in order to assure us that, in fact, it was the Russians who were involved in these leaks, shouldn't it?
Well, it should. But I think what we're learning from all of these very strong possible explanations, certainly lines of inquiry that should be followed, we're learning that none of this is really about finding out what truly happened. And I think that that is kind of the hard lesson that we really need to learn, and I certainly hope the Trump White House learns and the Trump Justice Department learns, because one wonders where they are in all of this. This is a political witch hunt in the sense that it has defined itself that way by limiting itself to this narrative of, quote, Russian, quote, hacking, based on, as we started talking at the very beginning of our conversation, unverified finding by a DNC contractor. And the fact that that remains the case should give no American any confidence in this tremendously spun up and inflated hysteria we're seeing on Capitol Hill and in the media, to the exclusion of everything else. It's one thing if we really saw, if we've talked about this before, opening up the whole gamut of the both political parties. I mean, this was an election that actually involved two main political parties. Not just Donald Trump was not the only person running for president. If the Russians are really trying to influence our election, there's going to be a lot of interesting activities across the political spectrum, as has been going on for some years in this town. If you're really interested in finding the truth, you open things up.
Indeed.
You look
Diana,
for the
we
truth.
Have to pause for one last time. We'll be right back with more with Diana West.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.